Hi, in this video, I'm going to discuss perhaps the most important step in the Eventbrite 10-step process, and yet it is the most overlooked, most undervalued step by many, many inventors. What is that step? Stick around, I'm about to get into it. So what is this critical step that most new inventors specifically miss? Well, it's market research. Market research is absolutely critical to your ability to move forward with the product idea. So what do I mean by this? Well, in the great book by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, A Scandal in Bohemia, Sherlock Holmes is talking to Watson and he says, "You see, but you do not observe." And there's a critical difference. And I think that most inventors take this approach, seeing but not observing when they look at the marketplace. So let's talk about this. Now let's start by defining observation. What is it? Well, observation is really the process of focusing on someone or something for critical evaluation. It is more than just passively seeing, and it can and really probably should involve all of your senses, at least at some point. Okay? And then let's talk a little bit about why studying of the marketplace is so tremendously important. Okay, is important because you want to set a strong foundation for yourself to be successful with your product development and in licensing efforts. It means that you are effectively building on each of the steps throughout the process so that they're supporting each other. Each step builds on the subsequent step. Okay, and if you don't make smart decisions now, it's going to impact how your decisions down the line are affecting your product development. Okay, it's really about helping you write a much more effective provisional application. And then ultimately, it's going to help you avoid pitfalls when you start pitching your product to potential licensees. And what that really means to me is that ultimately, you are avoiding a whole lot of work that turns out to be for nothing if you had just done your research up front, okay? So how do we go about studying the marketplace? Well, let's take a cue from the great band Aerosmith and their terrific song, "Let the Music Do the Talking." In this case, it's "Let the Market Do the Talking." And how do we do that? Well, I've talked a little bit about this in the past video, and we'll get more into it here in a moment, but there's a number of ways we're going to let the market do the talking for us, okay? And so let's take a minute here and get into that specific aspect of it. So what are some of these ways that we're going to let the market do the talking for us? Well, I want to take a quick moment and have you take a look at this slide here. Okay, so some of the initial considerations, like I said before, your job is to make it easy for potential licensees to say yes to your product ideas, right? And how do we do this? Well, submitting, one way might be submitting slight modifications to their existing product line, or a simple idea that fits into their product line that doesn't require potential licensees to start what is essentially a new business. I often have new students that say, "Hey, this is gonna change the industry. This is disruptive." Well, that can be effective depending on the category and where that category is at. It might make sense for a particular company, even within a category that isn't looking for a lot of change. One particular company may be. But that's kind of searching for a needle in a haystack. And oftentimes, companies are looking to stay in their lane. They know what they do well. They've got all the pieces in place to do well within that marketplace, and they want to stick to it. They want to maximize their dollars and the effort that they've put in up to that point, so they're not necessarily looking for a massive change. Okay, so that would be one thing to consider as you're studying the marketplace. Here's some other key points to keep in mind. Is the addition or variation, the improvement that you have, adding easily recognizable value? So they don't have to hunt for that value. They see right away, wow, that is a better mousetrap. That is something that's really going to improve over what we have currently. Okay, is the improvement cost effective to manufacture and easy to implement? So it's not going to cost them a fortune. They're not going to have to buy a new $1 million machine to get that product into the marketplace. It's something that they can do with the existing materials and the existing machinery that they have. Okay. Is the improvement specifically targeting a known problem? Well, this goes back to 3-star reviews. And the gold that is 3-star reviews, knowing what the market is saying. Are people liking certain aspects of a product and completely disliking others? Okay, why are they disliking that aspect? Is this something that I can design to solve, right? And then deliver them a solution on a silver platter to that existing problem. Does the change make the product more convenient to use? Convenience is gigantic, guys. There are an endless number of products in the market today that are based on convenience and just convenience alone. Everybody wants something that's more convenient, that makes their life easier, that speeds up our processes so they can get on to other things, so on and so forth. So convenience is huge. So you might consider that. And then does the change create a wow factor? Something that truly makes somebody look at it and go, wow, that's incredible. Or wow, I gotta have that. I need that experience. So those are some of those things that you might consider as you are evaluating the marketplace. So as you are studying the marketplace, you're essentially doing a prior art search, and that could constitute a lot of different things. Maybe it's doing a Google image search. Maybe it is going into the stores and seeing what's in the aisles currently. And it also may be doing a patent search. So I thought I would take a quick second and show you this slide that gives you a feel of what prior art is, gives a nice graphic for what some of the categories are that would be examples of prior art. And then the definition from the USPTO, which is prior art constitutes those references or documents which may be used to determine novelty and or non-obviousness of claimed subject matter in a patent application. That is a mouthful. I really like the European Patent Organization's definition a bit better. Prior art is any evidence that your invention is already known. Prior art does not need to exist physically or be commercially available. Okay, so a bit more easy to understand. One tip I want to give you here when you're looking specifically for IP is that if you see a product in the marketplace, take down the name of that company, go to Google Patents and type in the name of that company. You may find that they have very few patents and you can easily identify it, but they may have a whole bunch of patents. And if they do, then you want to add an additional keyword or two, something like mop or tool, hand tool, something like that, that may narrow that search down. And then take a look at the prior art that exists or the prior IP that exists with respect to that product. That can tell you a whole lot and set you up to write a much more effective provisional application as well. Okay. So let's move on. Okay, so what are some other things that you may want to consider as you do your market research and study that market? Well, number one, 3-star reviews. 3-star reviews are gold. I've talked about this in a previous video, so I'm not going to get deep into that, but just know that 3-star reviews are really helpful because you can find out what consumers are saying about existing products in your product category that they like and dislike, and then you can design to solve those problems and deliver a solution to those problems on a silver platter to the potential licensees you're going after. So 3-star reviews, really important. What about trends? Trends can be really important too. I recently saw an article from Martha Stewart talking about the trend of dopamine decor. And dopamine decor is a way of decorating your home or your office where it is bright primary colors, blues and reds and yellows and so on, because it makes you feel good. It gives you a dopamine high, which makes you feel good, right? Well, the interesting thing about that, I saw this article just weeks ago, and I read an article about dopamine dressing well over a year ago. And how people were dopamine dressing in primary colors. Designers are designing in simple but primary colors because it makes people feel good to wear bright, fresh colors like that. So what if you take that dopamine trend and you apply it to another category such as pet products? And now your pet bed is bright dopamine-based colors. I don't know if that's a term, but I'm using it. Or maybe you are doing something where it is decor for offices, and it is for desktops, and you're using that same kind of trend. Well, hey, maybe that puts you ahead of the curve, right? If you had had that type of insight into the fidget space a number of years ago, you might have been the one designing fidget cubes or fidget spinners or fidget everything else that's been out there and done extremely well. So paying attention to the trends can really make a difference. Okay. The other thing I think that is really important that people often miss is the About Us section on companies' websites. These are companies who are potential licensees for your product, that you are studying their product line. If you take a look at the About Us section, you can learn a ton. So let me just quickly take a second and show you some examples of what I mean here. So let's take a quick look at this graphic that I put together here, this slide that talks a little bit to this About Us section. And just how much you can learn from the companies themselves that you're going to be pitching to. So here's one example of OXO. OXO does houseware, kitchenware-based products. They say, at OXO, we look at everyday objects and activities, and we see ways to make things simpler. Simpler, guys. There's a clue. Easier, more thoughtfully designed, better. We frame our product development process through the lens of universal design and engineer items that pair innovation with purpose. We're always on the lookout for ways to make everyday tools and tasks easier, even enjoyable. Our boundless curiosity and restless search for better inform everything we do. If we can't make something better, we don't make it. Okay, so better could mean a ton of things to a lot of different people, right? But simpler really is that clue there. Easier, thoughtfully designed. They're saying take the time to not just throw a bunch of features in there to make it technically better, but think simpler. How can I make this product better but more simple? Perhaps that means more cost effective. It means simpler for a person to use, or a consumer to use. So there are clues there, as I said. You gotta pay attention to these things. Let's look at Mind Reader. So Mind Reader does a lot of office-based products, okay? So what they say, redefining the home and office. We take the ordinary and reimagine it into extraordinary products that make your life more colorful, simple, and stress-free. If you want the best products for organizing your home and office, look no further. Make your home and office beautiful and functional. Okay, so make your office beautiful and functional. That's a core value, it sounds to me like, for them. This is the type of thing that, who knows, maybe office products that are based on the dopamine decor trend, it might work well with, right? So that's the type of things that you can garner by reading the websites of these companies. And then you can see there's another here from Hangman Products too. I won't get into that, but you're welcome to take a second and read that. So with that, let's move along and let's talk about a couple other things here before I let you go. All right. All right. Hey, let's bring this full circle and get back to the powers of observation. How can you improve your powers of observation? Well, any number of different ways you can do that. Why not play some games, number one, that can be kind of fun, right? So how about you take 30 seconds and you observe the room that you're in and you observe everything about that room. And then you walk away and you write down everything that you can remember. You might be writing down and observing the colors in the room, the types of furniture in the room, the smells that are taking place, the sounds, the feeling of the air coming from the ceiling fan, as an example. Write down everything you could possibly remember. And then as you get better at that, shorten the time frame. Make it 20 seconds instead of 30 seconds, or make it 10 seconds instead of 20 seconds. That can be a fun way to improve your power of observation. How about going to a local retailer, go into the aisle that your product would be displayed in if it was on the shelf, and notice the items that are there, and notice how people interact with those items. Do they walk right past? Are there certain packages that catch their eye better than others? Do they pick up those items and interact with it, perhaps turn it around, read the back end of it, really make consideration of whether they want to purchase that product. Maybe it's the type of product where they would smell that product, or they would feel it, to see the texture of it. Notice those types of things, because that make a difference. That can make a difference in your product as well. And then maybe it's just about mindfulness, right? Maybe it's simple things when you eat your lunch or your dinner, that you notice how that food tastes. But you notice the nuances of that taste, how they blend together. Or maybe it is how you are noticing the smell if you plug your nose, or the taste, excuse me, if you plug your nose, and how it changes. Little things like that. Really be observant and mindful of your everyday activities. That can go a long way to improving your powers of observation. So with that, I hope you found this video to be really helpful. And maybe the next time you take a look and you're studying the marketplace and you go, oh no, I found my product. Well, you can look and go, hey, congratulations. I probably just did myself a real favor, because now I can design better, and I can ensure that when I get to pitching this product to potential licensees, that they're going to recognize I've done my homework. Okay, so I hope this video was really helpful, and yes, if you liked it, please give me a thumbs up, and of course, subscribe to InventRight TV. We really want to include you in everything we possibly can. We want to get as many viewers as we can, because inventors should be helping inventors. All right, thank you very much, and have a great day.
Okay, you've got this great idea, and you need a little help, and we're going to help you. We're going to give away $25,000 in prizes to help you license your ideas to companies at InventRight. So how does this all work? It's pretty simple. Once we hit 100,000 subscribers on our channel, we're going to run a contest and show you how to win some of our programs. So what are we giving away? First of all, we're giving away two of our premium programs. That's where you get a personal coach that's going to guide you each week for you to license your product ideas. They're going to be behind the scenes to make sure you're doing everything right, to make sure your marketing material is spectacular, making sure you protect your ideas correctly, and making sure you're reaching out to those companies and saying the right thing. And then once there's interest, we have a coach that's going to come in and help behind the scenes you negotiate that licensing agreement so it's fair and balanced. All right, so what's the second prize? Well, the second prize is three Gateway programs. What's Gateway? Hey, it's real simple. Gateway is where we at InventRight handle everything for you. We're going to find the companies, find the right people, and make sure your product is pitched correctly to get that licensing deal. So all these prizes, the two premiums and the three gateways, it adds up to over $25,000 in prizes to you. So how does this all work? It's really quite simple. All you have to do, subscribe down below if you haven't already. And once we hit 100,000 subscribers before the end of the year, we're going to run a contest and we're going to give away those prizes to help you license your product ideas.